I wanted to deviate from our regular custom to say something about the parsha, and instead speak about a little bit about things that are going on in the world and how we're supposed to react, feel. Now, we know that nowadays we're all connected. We know what's going on the other end of the world. We can know details instantaneously. We can know what's going on. We can see pictures. We can almost like live the moment of what's going on anywhere in the world. In the beginning of the 20th century, the early 1920s, it wasn't like that. You could have someone living in Poland, and something that would happen in Japan was almost like happening on Mars. Like, what was Japan to someone living in Poland? No connection. But on September 1st, 1923, there was a powerful earthquake that hit in Japan and basically laid to waste Tokyo, Yokohama, the surrounding cities. Over 100,000 people got killed. And news of this massive disaster even hit the small town in Poland called Radin, where the great saintly Chafetz Chaim, he lived. And the Chafetz Chaim wrote, he was 85 years old at the time, and when he heard about it, he was very shaken, and he immediately undertook to fast, and he insisted that the Jews all over should repent. Should they do tshuva? Were the people in Yokohama Jewish? Not necessarily. But a national disaster of such a great magnitude is not something that people in the little shtetl of Radin should just, okay, look, somewhere else, nothing to do with us, we're never even going to see Japan, we don't know what Japan is. Something that happens of such a great magnitude, of course, the hand of Hashem is involved. And at least what we could do in Radin, try to do tshuva, try to repent, try to become better people. Then again, not that many years later, on Erev Yom Kippur, 1927, the Chafetz Chaim wrote a letter. He said, paraphrasing a little bit, that on July 11th, a few months before 1927, there was a major earthquake in Yerushalayim. It measured 6.2 on the Richter scale, and 130 people died. And other people were injured. And he wrote a letter again that we have to repent. It's a warning, he said. Such an earthquake is a warning in our holy city of Yerushalayim. Something that happened. We have to change our ways. We have to try to find how we could become better people. Again, this is in Poland. He's telling the people in Poland that we're far away from Yerushalayim. It wasn't like nowadays. We're flying back and forth all the time. Far away, disconnected, but something happens, a tragedy, it affects us. It's a message to us on some level what we could do, how we could become better. Now, I'm not going to read through the whole letter that he writes, but he discusses some other tragedies that happened in Russia and one that happened in Poland itself, and he says it's coming at us from all angles, and the ones in Russia and the ones in Poland weren't to Jews. When Yerushalayim, of course, was. But the other was when he says, wait, we have to wake up. We have to start realizing that Hashem is sending us messages that we have to try to become better people. That's when it applies to other people, other nations, not our family, not our friends. Rav Hirsch writes that the word for cruelty in Hebrew is achzar. Aleph chav zayin resh. If you're cruel to someone, you act with cruelty, you're acting with achzariyut. Achzar means to be cruel. He said that the word, very often when we think about being cruel, it's like actively doing something wrong to someone. You hurt the person, you give him something that really hurts him. You act with cruelty, right? But he pointed out that the word achzar is made up of two words. Ach, aleph chaf, which means how. And zar, which means strange. When someone has an attitude of, oh, how strange. oh, that's sad. Then even though you didn't do anything to the other person, that's being cruel. Showing apathy, a lack of interest of what's going on in someone else's life, that's not just not being nice, actively being nice, but it's being cruel. Not taking an interest in someone else's pain, in someone else's misfortune, in someone else's tragedy, is being cruel. Oh, how strange. We have to feel other people's pain. They don't have to be Jewish. They don't have to be related to us. Someone else is having pain. We have to try to feel that pain. And what we can, at least from our small space, try to be better. Try to pump good into the world when that happens. When it happens to someone who's Jewish, so then it takes on a whole new level. How's that? When the Tomer Devora writes, or Moshe Cordovero, one of the great Kabbalists from Tzfat, he writes as follows. The Pasuk, we know, we're dealing with the Parshios now, of Chesed, Avram's acts of kindness. The Pasuk that teaches us to do Chesed, to act with kindness, V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. One of the most famous top of the list psukim in the Torah. Right? Love your neighbor like you love yourself. And he points out that the word re'acha does not mean your neighbor. Doesn't mean your neighbor. He points out that the word re'acha means that a part of one another. And he writes that all the Jewish people have a piece of each other's soul in them. That means that every single one of your souls, piece of it, is found in my soul. And my soul is found in every single one of your souls. And he explains that that's the reason that when someone is sinning, so I have to try to go ahead and rebuke him. I have to try to help him change his ways. Why? Because if not, I'm going to be held accountable. That's what the old pasuk says. This person violates part of the Torah, I'm going to be held accountable if I don't rebuke him. What's it do with me? It's him. What's it do with me? So he said, because he is me. Part of me is in him. So if he sins, it's as if I'm sinning. And the flip side, Rav Aaron Cutler writes, is with mitzvos. If someone else does a mitzvah, I should be excited because I'm also going to get some reward for that piece of the mitzvah that he did. We're all connected. And we all share each other's soul on some level. And he explains, that's what v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha means. L'reicha means your other piece, other part of you. The Ramban asks, how can you love your neighbor like you love yourself? It's impossible. We all love ourselves more than everyone else. That's the bottom line. Everyone's supposed to love. So he says, no. Something that you would have wanted for yourself, you should also want for the other person. But emotionally loving? That's not what the Torah demanded from us. Torah the verse says, no. It did demand that from us. Like the simple reading of the Pasuk. I should love my re'acha as I love myself. Why? Because you're me. You are me. We just don't look at it like that. I look at it as you look different than I do, so we must be separate. So how can I love you like I love myself? But if I appreciate that inside, we're all the same, we're all one, we're all connected, our souls are all interlocked, so then you're me. So of course I'm going to love you like I love myself. From a selfish perspective, we'll love each other. Exact same way. Rav Huttner writes, I mentioned this before, that the word chua, when we blow the shofar, right? Tu, 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 tu. The word chua, the root of that word is the same as re'acha, the reish ayin. It's the same exact root. Because the chua, the blow of the shofar, the chua is pieces of the bigger blow of the tkia. The tkia is whoo, right? And the chua is tu, 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 tu. It's little pieces of something bigger. Because the root of that word, chua, re'acha, means pieces of each other that connect to something much bigger. So you are, and I, we're all the same. And therefore, like the Tomer Devora writes, if you have something that is good that happens to you, I'll throw a party, I'm ecstatic. Because we're all the same. Just the same party that I throw for myself, I should throw for you. And on the flip, the same is true. If Chas V'Shalom something bad happens to another person, so I should be in pain, as if it happened to me. Because We're all one. The Jewish people are all interconnected. So his pain is my pain. There's no difference. There's a story in 1911. There was a Jewish factory worker. His name was Mendel Bilas. And he worked in Kiev. And he was falsely accused of a ritual murder of a 13-year-old Ukrainian boy. And they took Bayless and they put him into prison, awaiting for his trial. Meanwhile, the Russian press launched a vicious attack against the Jewish people, against the Jewish community, a blood libel, all because of this guy who was falsely accused. And part of the prosecution was, they forgot about the people involved. They started to attack Judaism as a whole. And they said, the Gemara says, Atem kuyim adam, you, Jewish people, are called Adam, literally translated as a man. The ain ha'akum kuyim adam, but the non-Jews, they're not called man. That's a statement in the Gemara. So the prosecutor said, you see, they hold that the non-Jews aren't human. So therefore they kill them, like they'll kill an animal. What's the difference? And that's why it's possible that Mendel Bilas really pulled off this murder, because they don't care about the non-Jews. Who are they? They don't care. Now, the Rav of Moscow, his name was Rav Mazet, he had to defend the Torah now against these prosecutors. Again, they forgot about the people involved in the fact that even Mendel Bilas was even around at the time of the murder. That came out at the very end. But at the time, they had to defend the Torah. So how is he going to explain this Gemara? How is he going to get out of it? So the great Rav Meir Shapiro, later the founder of the Daf Yomi movement, sent an answer to Rav Mazet to go ahead and defend. And he said, this is what the Gemara means. The word Adam is singular. Right? The Gemara should have said, Atem, you in plural, Atem is plural, not Ata, Atem. You, Kruyim Anashim. You are called people. Not Atem, you, many, Kruyim Adam, a singular man. That's incorrect diktuk. So what's the Gemara saying? The Gemara is saying as follows. Over the last 2 years, when Mendel Bilas was standing on trial, Jews all over the world, not just from Moscow, all over the world have been davening, have been giving tzedakah, have been doing tshuva, because it is one guy who's been falsely accused, waiting the death sentence, on trial. They never met him, they're never going to meet him, they're never going to go to Russia, that guy's never going to come to America, he's never going to come to Spain, he's not going to be anywhere, they're never going to see this guy. But they heard that there's a Jew on trial that's in trouble and might get the death sentence. And the entire Jewish world came together and cried and was in pain. Why? Because Atem, all of you Jewish people, Kruyim Adam, you're one singular person. And therefore his pain, out of the middle of nowhere, is the same as my pain. Ve'ena akum kuyim adam. But you don't find that in other communities. You don't find that in other communities, if they hear some remote person that's in trouble on trial, that all of a sudden everyone starts davening in their schools and start giving charity and start protesting. You don't find that. Because ain't a ten plural kuyim adam. You're not a singular. Of course you're human. We never said that non-Jews are not human. God forbid. We care very much about non-Jews. But they're not adam. They're not one unit. They're different people. But we are all one. We are one unit. And therefore another Jew's pain is my own personal pain. I may never see him. I may never speak to him. I never hear from him. He's never going to say thank you to me. He's not going to even know that I did anything for him. But I'm in pain, just like my right arm would be in pain, my left arm would feel it. We're all one. We all have that pain. V'havta l'reacha kamocha, I love my other piece like I love myself. Therefore, when we hear of a shooting that's unheard of in the United States to the Jewish people of this magnitude, and Many people are murdered. We have to be extremely pained by such a thing. Extremely pained. And we have to take it as a message. We have to take it as a message if anyone would ever have that tragedy. But Kal vachomer, when it's me. And for sure when we have an Aish branch a half a mile away from the shul, from the synagogue where it happened. And Rabbi Chase Cook, one of our students in yeshiva, was the head of the Aish branch in Pittsburgh. So his wife wrote that her husband went to shul early in the morning, like he does every single Shabbos. And all of a sudden, she hears, in the middle of shul, helicopters and sirens, and she's told to stay in the house, no one's allowed to come out. And she has no clue. She wasn't on the television, she wasn't on the computer, on her phone. She didn't know what's going on. And she doesn't know where her husband is, where the students are, until he came home safely afterwards. Can you imagine that? One of us, from Eishet Torah, one of our Talmidim, that many of the people in this room know, personally, felt it. We have a student that was here a couple years ago, Philip Stein. He lives in Pittsburgh. He goes to the University of Pittsburgh, I was in touch with him, touch with his mother. And I sent a letter to see how everyone's doing. And she wrote back, one of her close friends was in the shul and was murdered. People that we know, people, we don't need that. We don't need that. We shouldn't need that to feel the pain. But it's real. It's something that is within us. And there's a message here. First of all, we have to feel it. If we don't feel it, there's something wrong with us. And we have to try to understand why is it? Why is it that we can't feel other people's pain? What is it? Maybe a little self-centered. We have to work on that. But even if we do feel the pain, we have to then react. We have to try to do chesed. We have to try to show the values of what the Torah really is about, what it means to be a Jew. We have to try to think how we could bring ourselves higher, to better places, above all this. And when we do that, we could have in mind that we're doing it to be a merit for those people who were murdered. It's such a tragedy. They were in the middle of a bris. You know, it's unfathomable what happened. And we have to take the time out. We're busy in yeshiva, we're busy learning, we're busy growing. But we have to take the time out just to stop, reflect, feel the pain, and say, what are we going to do about that? How are we going to change? What message are we going to take? Every person's message is going to be different. But what can we take for ourselves to change and become better? To appreciate the fact that we're able to be alive? I mean, this... Let me say it straight, because we're friends here, but it wasn't an attack on 11 people in Pittsburgh. The murderer screamed out, all the Jews should die. So he was attacking me and you as much as those people. It happened to be those people were in front of his gun, but it had nothing to do with them. He didn't know them, he wasn't upset at them. It had to do with me and you and all of us. So it was an attack on us. It was an attack on us, a public outcry on us. And he told the police afterwards that that's what he wanted to do. So we were, Baruch Hashem, far away from it, so we weren't affected directly, but we were affected directly. We were affected directly because they are us. We are one. So Baruch Hashem, we were spared. And Baruch Hashem, we have the ability to continue growing, to continue developing, continue doing good things. But we have to take advantage of the bracha that we had, that we were given, to be able to do that. We can't waste our time. We can't stop moving forward. We can't stop shooting for greatness. This is Hashem. The tshuva, the repentance, and all the good deeds that we'll take on ourselves will be an ilui neshama for those people that were murdered, and it should be only zochet to share in good things amongst Klal Yisrael. We shouldn't hear any more sorrow.